pass by every day because I have a bunch of guests on, cover sometimes hundreds of news stories, usually 40 or 50, and it's really hard to get into in-depth subjects and really go over the history, the context, what's currently happening, and where this technocracy is leading us. Because most people, including myself, tend to just cover the story like, oh, look at the flock cameras. Oh, look at the home assistants and controlling our thermostats. And look at the self-driving cars. And, oh, the Havana syndrome's over here. And yeah, now you've got Neuralink and the brain chips. And you've got 30-40% of the population on different psychotropic drugs. But all of this is part of the larger same agenda that really started about 160, 70 years ago in England. There was also a lot of research going on in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, Prussia, what's Germany today, of what they call mind wars. And they really understood the future of warfare would be more psychological or more informational or control of people themselves than just fighting armies. And so when we move up to the OSS and World War II and the CIA in 1947, MK Ultra and Operation Artichoke and all that, what's declassified is stuff from the 50s and 60s. And a lot of stuff's leaked since then, but most of that was the beta testing of mind control. Now they've moved to mass mind control or mass control. So I've had many times on the air and a few times in studio, Jesse Beltran, one of the top researchers on mind control, on the mass mesmerizing, putting the public into almost a sleep-like trance with his old background, cutting edge for 20 years. Researching the covert microchipping of the public that's now moved into nanotech and self-assembling things in the body, the patents, what's happening, it's going on. They're even selling it in the news like it's no big deal because they've gone from beta and now they're going into purely operational. So I asked Jesse Beltran to come to town, one of the other great researchers, Matt Hazen, who I've also gotten to know really well, and all the incredible scientific research he's doing with top scientists, doctors, and more, to do an hour and a half, 2 hour, I mean, as long as it takes, deep dive into what is the real world we're living in. Because we're told that, you know, the future is coming, but really the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. I mean, we all know that we're still told the SR-71 Blackbird, first designed in the early 50s, in service in 1957, is still the fastest airplane in the world. Now, who really believes that? We're told our latest bombers were rolled out in the late 80s, but were around 20 years before. That's, of course, the B-2 bomber and the stealth fighter. The truth is, everything is 20, 30, 40, 50 years advanced what the public is told about. But more and more, they are externalizing this, going from beta to operational. So I'm going to try to give Jesse Beltran, and I'm going to try to give his other associates. We've also got Edward Zoll coming in to join us a little bit later. Incredible filmmaker and researcher. Most of you have already heard of him for some of the big hit top documentaries, watched hundreds of millions of times, like Died Suddenly. He's going to be coming in and talking about all this and a lot more hidden history, some of the other big developments that are happening today. And remember, this is just scratching the surface. That's what's so frustrating. I saw it as a good first step. He was on the show last week. He agreed, Jesse Beltran, with the MK Ultra hearing. It was only 6 hours long. And those of us that knew all about it were like, well, this is old information. But Congress confirming it, some of the new documents, it was still a breakthrough and more to come, because previous to this, except in the 70s, 75, 76, the Frank Church Senatorial Committee hearings, we haven't gotten any of this. And so a lot more is starting to come out. So the public's hungry. They're demanding it. So we're going to go over all of this today. You've sent me a lot of videos, a lot of exhibits here. And so, Jesse Beltran, you're really the master of ceremonies here today. I appreciate you graciously coming to town to spend these days with us, with the rest of your team. And so let's go ahead and launch into this. Take it away.
Okay. Well, thank you as always, Alex. I love your platform. It really touches to the heart of a lot of people who really get it. Basically, everyone is awakening. And in the MK Ultra, for the last 50 years, the official line was simple, that it ended in 1973. But on June 30th, they held a hearing of witnesses under oath. And one of them was a CIA agent who testified that he does not believe that MK Ultra had stopped, that the program still exists.
Fellow Americans, I'm back. The Nixon 28 collection is now available, and I must say, it looks tremendous. Go to thealicejonesstore.com and pick yours up today. You'll be glad you did. Ultimate Power Drink Mix. The fantasy is real, and it's delicious. Visit thealexjonesstore.com today.
It's not a conspiracy theory. This is...
Or against it. Live from Austin, Texas. Broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
To a lot of things that most Americans are asleep with. They did not understand anything about mind control. And when you say mind control, what is the stereotypical response people get?
Manchurian candidate, Frank Sinatra.
Yes. And tinfoil hats, propeller heads, conspiracy theorists. But this is no longer conspiracy. This is a actual congressional hearing with credible witnesses who are under oath, who are giving their testimony. And it's a great beginning of what happened on June 30th. I'm still cautiously optimistic about what is coming forth. And if we can pull up, start off with number one, and it's Paulina Luna talking about what was going on in Nazi Germany. And then we can build upon that and really take a deep dive into what really, really came out of that hearing is the fact that post-Nuremberg trials, post-Nuremberg Code, which the United States never signed on to, and you have to wonder why, particularly about what was going on with human experimentation by the Nazis. What they disclose is that at one of the facilities, they actually located a gentleman who actually purchased the property where, along with Nazi scientists, you had U.S. scientists, MK Ultra scientists, working concurrently with them. So if we can pull up number one now, please.
Here's clip one from the hearings last week.
Operation Paperclip brought over 1,600 German scientists into the United States government after World War II, including individuals who had conducted human experimentation in concentration camps. The CIA and military were aware of their backgrounds and recruited them anyways. In your research, did you find direct documentation between Paperclip scientists and the development of MKUltra's experimental protocols, specifically the use of mescaline, hypnosis, and sensory deprivation, which were techniques also documented at Dachau?
Absolutely. Kurt Blome, who was the chief of biological weapons development for the Nazi government, came to work for the CIA. So did Walter Schreiber, who was the Surgeon General of the Nazi Army. I can just tell a brief story. When I was researching my book, I found what I think might be the first secret CIA prison or black site. It's a nice chalet in Germany. And the guy who now owns it took me into the basement. He said these were the cells where the MKUltra officers, working side by side with Nazis, carried out those gruesome experiments, which were actually just continuations of the experiments that those Nazis had been conducting just a few years earlier right down the road.
Just for timeline and clarification, these experiments were happening after the Nuremberg trials, correct? So the CIA would have known that these were crimes against humanity.
I looked for an episode in which the Nuremberg doctrines were posted on the wall in some MK Ultra or CIA office, and I was never able to find any indication that those Nuremberg principles ever were even consulted, much less obeyed.
Thank you.
That's just amazing, and I would just remind viewers, I know people, viewers, our average viewers know as much as we do, or more in many ways, but advertising, Edward Bernays, all this, the science of persuasion. Mind control is the big enchilada. So the way Hollywood's made fun of it and turned it into, you know, kooky stuff over the years is because they don't want people to take it serious. And so this is, you know, basically first steps for Congress and those of us that are experts. It's Oh, really? We already knew that. But to have these admissions and so many new documents coming out is really amazing. But in the Nuremberg trials, and of course, they didn't get them out of it, they said just following orders. They also said, we got most of this from British, from joint research, from working with the head of the founder of IBM, Thomas Watson, and Margaret Sanger in Planned Parenthood. And we were actually following your ideas. So when they brought over 30-plus thousand Nazis, not just run NASA and run everything else and help set up U.S. intelligence, they were basically, in a way, coming home. It's not that we became Nazis. It's that the Nazis were an offshoot of this mind war science system that the British, the United States, and others were studying. And I know, Jesse, you know that. I know that Matt knows that. But I think that's also important for people to understand that Operation Paperclip is exactly what we're dealing with now. And also, as you pointed out, we were on last week, I think we have that clip too, they brought up the fact that Fauci is basically part of this now, and the brainwashing to take the shots was a psyop, they admit, and that was all violations of the Nuremberg Code on informed consent as well. And under that code, as you know, it's punishable by death what they did.
Absolutely. What the Nazi scientists were doing back then, they were hung for. And I had the opportunity to meet a gentleman by the name of Barry Trower out of the UK. He was a MI6 asset. He was an agent. He specialized in interrogation techniques. But when he also exposed the RF and the frequency and the experimentation types of interrogation that they were utilizing even then. And what he says is that what the scientists are doing today, they would have been hung for back in the Nuremberg days. And that is really where we're at. So,
wow, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Yeah. What the scientists are doing today, they would have been hung for during the Nuremberg Code trials. And so you think about what just happened during the pandemic. I've said this before. In my opinion, this was the biggest mass murder that was conducted not only on U.S. citizens, but on a global basis around the world. And if we really look at those numbers, the true numbers, because if you Google how many people died and you ask AI, it says only around 7,000 people or 7 million. I may be misspoken. It was 7 million. Now, if you do the numbers, looking at the studies that are coming out of Australia, where they're showing that the deaths on people who were given the vaccine is approaching 35 million.
Oh, I remember having a bunch of actuarialist experts on who later testified to Congress, and we're talking about head insurance, you know, people, and they were saying 3-4 years ago it was 20 million, and exactly they say it's 35 million. In fact, the increased death just in the snapshot area between 18 and 44 is the highest death rate ever in history, bigger than World War II, bigger than World War I. It is exponential. There's a 40+% increase in death of all-cause morbidity just in that one spectrum.
Correct. Well, this is just Australia's numbers that are coming out.
Now, they're saying Australia.
That's Australia's numbers. Japan just did a study with 22 million subjects in it, looking at peak morbidity post-vaccination, and that's 22 million in that. And they were showing it to be 90 days. They're also in their study, and we can pull up number 6 here in just a second, in their studies, they're also showing that you are 5 times most likely to die from the vaccination versus someone who's been unvaccinated. So you get a 5 times increase in the possibility of morbidity.
And before you get to that, I don't know how many clips you have from Japan. I've seen like heads of their university, their head vaccine person, and they were doing this early. We're talking like 4 or 5 years ago, coming out saying this is on purpose. It's by design. It's destroying our immune system. It's killing everyone. It seems like Japan has been done one of the best jobs of actually waking up to this.
Yes, they are. And they're putting out in the forefront. So there's serious discussion about it because a lot of people are wanting accountability. And I think that everyone watching wants accountability because we were lied to in the MK Ultra hearings that were done on June 30th. There was a representative from the NIH who just was very pompous is my description of her. And it shows how they are up on a pedestal and they feel that they should be the ones to decide. And she was preaching they need to follow the science.
Remember, I told you the story of about, I remember it was a long time ago, about 14 years ago, because I remember my first wife was divorcing me, so that's why I remember that time date. But I was down on the hike and bike trail going up what they call the Hill of Life. It's like 0.3 miles up a hill. So I was going up and down it, and I get to the top, and this guy goes, "Hey, Alex, you're really right about the vaccines are hurting and killing some people." He goes, "I'm the head doctor at the state health department." And he said, "But I want you to know it's greater good than bad, so we do it because overall it's good." And I saw his face. He told me his name. I went and got in my car because I didn't take my phone with me. Turned my smartphone on. And boom, there he was, the head of the state health department. And he just, but of course, I've read them say things like that before. But it's this attitude, yeah, we break a few eggs and make an omelet. But the truth is, it doesn't even help anybody. That was a lie, too. But they just say it's for the greater good.
Absolutely. And that's what she was trying to convey. And she's a psychiatrist. And when she was asked, does the NIH have a credibility problem? And she says, "I believe the American people love the NIH for all of the good things that they do." And what happened was when he says, "I think you're wrong," everyone at the hearing stood up and applauded it, his statement.
Do you think the NIH has a trust problem based on how they handled COVID?
No, I do not. I think that the NIH is beloved by the American people because we know about the advances in human health and cancer treatments and heart disease and diabetes and all of the health gains that the research has produced.
Well, I think you're wrong, ma'am. I think the public has a serious mistrust issue with the NIH. Do you deny that the NIH tried to cover up the origin of COVID?
I'm not here to testify about that. That's not my area of science. I have no knowledge of that.
Do you believe that the NIH supported masking and social distancing when there was really no science to support that?
What I'm more concerned about is what's happening right now to destroy the Biomedical Research Institute that has been the envy of the world. And right now, we're ceding our leadership in biomedical research to China. That's what's happening right now.
What about covering up harmful side effects of vaccines and the role that the NIH has played in that? What do you have to say about that, ma'am?
The U.S. history of human subject protection has evolved greatly. Numerous research improprieties from the 50s to the 70s in the United States, including the Tuskegee syphilis study, forced Congress to establish formally federal mandated rules.
You know what I'm asking you about. I'm asking you about how NIH handled COVID. Obviously, this is supposed to be a hearing about MKUltra, but when you gave your opening statement, and I don't even know why you were called to this hearing, because you didn't offer anything about MKUltra. But since you are here and you're going to defend NIH, I'm going to call you out on it. Do you see now what I'm talking about? When you say that the NIH doesn't have integrity problems and trust issues, did you hear the applause in this room? That should tell you right now that you're pretty tone deaf to what the public thinks about how the NIH handled COVID and the cover-up, not only the funding of it, but the cover-up involved in the aftermath. Can you acknowledge that?
I'm sorry, that's not my understanding.
Okay, folks, we're back. Incredible to actually see it. Now, let's go to clip six here. Japan issues warning for COVID vaccines. Here it is.
どうですね、虐殺をしたんですね。やらなければいけないことなんです。で、アドベストの資格の中には論文を示し、して 北に移りまして mRNA ワクチンの細胞内で毒性を持つスパイクを製作しました。 mRNA ワクチンの大勢の死亡者、負傷者、被害者を生み出しています。で、もう打ってもダメだと分かっているものを国際的な大きなダメージを受ける可能性もある、人から人に広がる可能性もあると、打つ必要は全くないですよ、ね、だからそれを知ってて打つというのは僕は犯罪だと思うんですよね。
And againThey knew day one that it didn't protect you, made you sick. They knew day one and would say, oh, even if you have natural immunity, you still need to take this, even though under the science that could kill you taking something once you already have immunity. So this was all, you're right, a giant psyop that violated informed consent, punishable by death under the Nuremberg Code. Jesse, please continue. And then Matt, anytime you want to jump in.
Yeah, the other thing is... What's coming out of this, and we're hopeful that they're going to continue the investigations. Let's hope that they follow through. And I think everyone watching really needs to make sure that this committee, this task force, follows through on everything that was learned during this meeting. And what was interesting, Luna called this crimes committed by the CIA against American citizens and called it crimes against humanity. There has to be accountability. People were deceived. They were conditioned. They were mind controlled. And why I say these things, we force people to wear masks, and they knew it didn't protect you. Okay. They forced people to distance themselves and
not see loved ones while they were dying.
Correct. They forced people to self-isolate in their homes. They forced businesses to close down. They destroyed, not only did they destroy lives by injecting them with these biomaterials, which the Japanese are saying that this is a crime. This is murder. Let's call it for what it is. This is mass murder on a global scale. But they didn't even have any programs, and I asked Amy Guttman about this at the Presidential Bioethics Commission when I was there. My question was, what are you doing to safeguard the victims when your experimentation goes wrong? Okay, because this is mass experimentation. This is mass murder. I'm not going to stand away from
it's
that.
Mad scientist guinea pig, yeah. Baby.
And the NIH has a credibility problem, particularly when they tell you to follow the science, and they knew the science was a lie.
And as you know, we pull up these articles all day long. Australia, Canada, U.S., armed forces help terrorize public, use mind control, terrorize public to take shot, like it was good. They even came out later and went, oh, we ran the PSYOP 6 feet apart, everything's closed, to make you take the shots. And as you know, at the top, it was premeditated. They were growing this. I want to go deeper into this. You're kind of starting with some of the history and current things, but they're growing a digital matrix in us. This is a nanotech plug, isn't it?
Oh, most definitely. And what's interesting,
or the interface.
Yeah, it's definitely the interface. Every one of us who has this in us now, and it's spreading through many mechanisms. It was not only the shots. It was in our air. It's in our water. It's in our foods. It's in the entire ecosystem now. So it's very difficult to stay away from it. But we are about to do something that has been monumental, and we've been waiting for this. Our MI6 whistleblower, who's the Oxford-educated Rafe Hazel, through my work with him, I think we've now isolated these signals, and we're able to show the signature and demonstrate it through scientific method.
A decade or so ago, this was rare. Right now, it's all over the place.
Correct. It's very rare now that I do not, I have not since pre-COVID found anyone who tests negative. Prior to the pandemic, it was very common if you did not have symptoms that you came up negative on any of our scans.
And a lot of people don't take the shots, but they still have this nanotech in them, to dumb it down, to simplify it, because it's shedding, or why is it everybody now?
Well, there is a shedding aspect of it, and this is why there are recommendations. Dr. R.N.A. Burkhart, the pathologist who did that study, and he died mysteriously shortly after in a car accident. he proved that the spike protein infiltrated every organ in our bodies, including the male testes. And when they looked at the male testes, all the spermatozoa no longer existed. And these were post-morbidity autopsies on 28-year-olds. All of the spermatozoa is gone and completely taken over by the spike protein. And his recommendation is that any woman of childbearing age no longer engage in a relationship with a man who has been vaccinated. So that's one aspect. And the reason why, you go, well, why? It's because if they have intercourse, she's basically being vaccinated every time. She's given a shot every time.
Explain that people are sending on, you're picking up the signals, these things, and some people are sending signals, and in some cases, which I saw in a Cronenberg movie 2 years ago, and I learned about this from a year ago, and I looked it up, it's mainstream news, people are coming back with Mac IDs, and people in graves are coming back with them. They dig up the, I mean, what the hell, what is that?
Yeah, well, the MAC address phenomenon is coming back again. I've seen some other studies that other countries are doing, and they are finding signatures. But more specifically, to talk about what Rafe discovered, he took one of our spectrum analyzer models, and he connected what is called a near-field probe antenna. And lo and behold, he was able to isolate the signals.
Now, first, start over. Dumb this down for us, because you guys are experts and live this. Explain what you're scanning, the devices, how you got it, and then used to, you'd find chips the last decade. That's phased out. Now it's the nanotech. Then we have all the patents by Gates about putting in the shots. I mean, this is hydrogel. This is all there.
Yeah. So to dumb it down, what we discovered, you know, when we went to, when I was invited to Europe at a non-disclosed university, teaching university, and was allowed to use an anechoic chamber. And an anechoic chamber is an environment that's designed and certified to block out huge frequency spectrums.
From, so it's like a super Faraday cage.
Correct. From 8 kilohertz up to 19 gigahertz. So the frequencies, we were scanning individuals, and we were, for whatever reason, we were finding positive emissions of some type of frequency. We had a hypothesis that the frequency was coming internally from their bodies. So the only way to really prove that is to be in an isolated environment, such as an anechoic.
True, be clear. You can show people your device, and you go, I'm going to guess it's going to go off at these nerve centers, the middle of your back, down here, for whatever reason, it precipitates out in the nerve endings, this nanotech. But you can say, oh, that's just a coincidence. But when you go in one of these chambers, and you're proving this is not an outside frequency.
Correct. We were we had control groups, people who weren't symptomatic, and we would test them with our scanning equipment, and we would get zero. For the first time, even on our frequency counters, we would get zero. When we brought in the victims who tested positive in the field, and we put our frequency counters in on them near those areas that came up positive in the field, we would detect a frequency. So we knew, for whatever reason, the frequency was emitting from their person. Now, when we Rafe discovered, our Oxford-educated MI6 whistleblower, he was able to isolate this. And I'm actually going to be taking a trip to the UK now. And he and I are going to continue our research. But Rafe has found a way to isolate the frequencies at these locations, scientifically proof that they're there. And what's interesting in his case, when Edward and I were in the UK interviewing him, we knew we were being surveilled, because on our spectrum analyzers, all of a sudden the Ministry of Defense was popping up on our spectrum analyzers in the location where, and there was a bug that was found in my bedroom.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us, and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market, and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
So we thought it was peculiar that the Ministry of Defense was coming up on the spectrum, and it happened the minute he stepped into our environment.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
So you're talking to the MI6 guy, and you're getting, it's actually saying, Ministry of, wow.
Well, when we identified the frequency and we checked who operated in that spectrum, it came back directly to the Ministry of Defense. So sure enough, he now uses this near-field antenna, and it only goes off when it's by the areas that I detected where he was having a frequency emission. And that frequency is the exact same frequency that goes back to the Ministry of Defense. So now we've isolated.
By the way, that's well known that different governments, different agencies have their own frequencies that they're on.
Correct.
And so they all think Havana Syndrome is the Russians, the Chinese, it's their own government.
Well, if you look at the testimony in May 8th of 2024, what was being disseminated to the American people is that there is no evidence this Havana Syndrome signal that was being directed at our federal employees, CIA, FBI, and now congressional members, there was no indication that it was coming from a foreign agency. But the question that needed to be asked, well, if it's not coming from a foreign agency, is it us or is it an ally of the Five Eyes? That was the question that needed to be asked.
As you know, the Five Eyes all spy on each other because then their own parliaments or congresses can't get oversight. So we have the British spy on us. We spy on the British for them. You know, that's well known. And that's how many times has it come out that the CIA, though, is spying on the Senate and the House Armed Service Intelligence Committees? It's admitted. So, of course, it's always going to be your government's the thing you got to really worry about more than anything, especially if it's the most powerful one on Earth. Of course, that's the thing you got to worry about the most.
Correct. And these criminals, because they're mass murderers, have used the law system to protect themselves. It is legal to experiment on American citizens currently without consent, as long as it doesn't exceed minimal risk. And so I think here is going to be the legal position that the American people need to take. So the minimal risk criteria is defined as nothing that doesn't happen in normal everyday life. And the question I asked, does death happen in normal everyday life? And the answer is yes. And they created this clause under Section 3024 of the 21st Century Cures Act. Okay, they hid it in there under the Obama administration. And he sold it to American people as a way to fight the opioid epidemic crisis that we were having here in the United States. Now, the other caveat to Section 3024 is all the data that is collected is protected under national security protocol. So even if you did a FOIA request, you're not going to be able to find out whether or not you're being experimented on. But the bottom line is that this is legal to do currently. But I think the challenge is going to be, can the American people prove that this exceeded normal everyday risk? Okay. And the legal fight is going to be how deeply do we define that? Does that include death or does it not?
Well, they've changed it off and on, but I remember it being pointed out when I had a scientist on, I'm talking like 28, 29 years ago. They said, have you seen U.S. code? And the reason I know this from memory is I've covered it so many times that about 5 years later, they changed it. Then they passed the law again and changed it back to the way it was. And I haven't looked this up in years. I have to say it fast to remember it. It's like phone numbers. You got to dial them fast to remember them. Or like an old phone number, you got to just not try. You just know it. But it's a U.S. Code, Chapter 32, Subsection 1528, Paragraph B, Subsection C, I think. And it said it's illegal to do unauthorized testing on the general public. And it goes to this big thing and all these penalties, unless it's for law enforcement or other research purposes, including lethal. So it says for page after page, it's all illegal. So so for like 3 or 4 years, I made a big deal about it. And then they even passed some law amending it and changing it. And then years later, last I haven't looked at it in years, they changed it back, but with more foggy language. I had lawyers look at it. And that's how they admit the military's done thousands of admitted tests that were lethal crap. But they say it's for the greater good. They have to know what's going to happen. So I think we should look that up. Hey, maybe somebody can check that. U.S. Code, Chapter 32. I have to say it fast.
So there's so much positioning that's gone on by the government and by to be able to weave a perfect situation where, in the end, since 2021, using the most high-tech, sophisticated equipment possible, every person that you are using this equipment on to test is emitting radio frequencies from specific locations that also are being tested for silicon-based electronic circuitry. And that's something that...
And they're emitting a frequency that's known government channels.
And you go back, yeah. And so what is the places that when you're looking at the exact radio frequencies that it goes back to that you see when you're dealing with civilians compared to like prisoners or military?
Great question. And then before I forget, after that, but think how perfect it is. We put tracker radio tags, you know, for 80 years, whatever, on lions or whales. They're just marking their real estate. Go ahead.
Correct. Yeah. Well, they're basically marking the herd. You know. So most of the agencies that we can detect these frequencies back to are all, and this was also being disclosed in the MK Ultra hearings, teaching institutions, universities who are doing experimentation for the U.S. government, military subcontractors. There are some government agencies.
Who do you find the highest levels of the radiation from? The radiating frequencies.
Most of them are all military subcontractors. You're talking about BlackRock. You're talking about Raytheon, Lockheed Martin. These are all the agencies that consistently come up in the frequency spectrums.
And by the way, you let me do it. You go like, well, you're a civilian. It'll probably be here and here. And you hit the button. And then you Sean Johnson, a Navy SEAL, a bunch of deployments. He said, I bet it lights up like Christmas tree. And it wasn't like you hit some secret button. I got it. Hit the button. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you predicted it. It was like, oh, you're a Navy SEAL. This is going to light up like Christmas tree.
Well, I've been doing this research for 20 years. And the data doesn't lie. The data is what it is. That's why.
So where are they putting in the troops, mainly through the shots?
In the troops, it's always the shots. It's always been the shots because you're property of the government. So you have to do what you're told.
It's like a serial number on a gun.
Yeah.
But this technology is deployable. This is the mRNA delivery system. It's just as easy to put into a vaccine as it is to put into the food supply, as it is to put into the water supply.
That's right. mRNA is developed and self-replicating systems, period. They can grow it through pharmacological crops for decades where the plant itself produces it. Yeah, it's not like they inject the lettuce or the carrot with it.
It's
it grows
coded.
It.
Yes,
it grows it in the animal or in the plant.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And then when they are talking about the spike protein, that is a harmed cell. So microscopists forever, when they see cells in a cancerous environment and they're dying, they start to crown and corona effect is what they get. And then that's kind of like the bottom of a beer bottle, the thing that Jim twist. And then once it starts spiking, you're dealing with a cell that is on the verge of dying. And these dead cell protein fragments from the cell membrane, they are positive charge because you have a reverse polarity in terms of magnetism from a healthy cell that when it starts to die. That's why you'll see it go to positive. Positive cell, which is harmed, starts coagulating with negative healthy cells. And then when the spike protein releases a positive into the next cell, you're talking about something that's programmed and it's going into a healthy cell. Now, all of a sudden, you have spike, what is called spike protein, taking over environments.
You know what's crazy? They always predicted programming. In the early 1980s movie, The Thing, John Carpenter, they're looking under an electron microscope at the alien cell, and it looks like an HIV cell, and it's got literally the spike on it. And it goes into the dog cell and hits it and then takes it over, and then it produces it and goes on to the next. And then I'm looking at electron microscopes of it. I'm like, it looks the same damn thing. I mean, they're just throwing it in our face.
Yeah, you know, and there are some studies out there, and there are some academics that believe that HIV was also a bioweapon.
Oh, Fauci, 100%.
So.
My dad was told that, and he owned a hospital at the time in Dallas, and that was back when I was, like, 14. He's like, when you get your driver's license, don't sign the organ donor card. They're killing people in Dallas hospitals, but don't tell anybody. And then, like, 10 years later, I'm watching 60 Minutes, and like, Chicago, Dallas, and such have caught major hospitals killing people with their organs. And they, like, said the name of the hospital my dad said, not the one he had. It was the little one he had. But the point was, anyways, he told me point blank, right when that whole HIV thing was going on, because I was promiscuous. I was like 14, 15, and I was worried. I had some girlfriends, you know, I was with that were older. And I was like, Dad, I'm worried. He goes, well, you shouldn't be having sex anyways your age, but don't worry. You ain't getting that. He goes, it's what Fauci gives you in the shots that actually kills you. And I later learned he was some hero or something. But my dad was part of the Dallas Buyers Club. So it wasn't just a bunch of those doctors. People were just giving everybody the drugs they needed and saying, don't go with this. So it was a big, but the point was, I was like right in the middle of that. It's just crazy.
Absolutely.
But 100%, they all knew it was Fauci then.
Yeah.
And what they did is in New York and San Francisco, in the hepatitis shot at the gay clinics, they gave them live HIV. It's because they were the perfect vector to spread it. But then it was only if they'd already suppressed your immune system would it actually kill you.
Yeah.
VAIDS, not AIDS, right? Vaccine acquired.
I mean, absolutely.
Luc Montagnier, the Nobel Peace Prize winner, it was split between him and another gentleman for the supposedly finding the AIDS virus. And he said within 2 years of his death, he started telling everybody that he never isolated the HIV virus. And that was a pretty big...
Well, remember Magic Johnson, this is like 25, 30 years ago. He goes, I don't have it anymore. Charlie Sheen, he's like, yeah, they told me actually I'm not positive for it anymore. He goes, as long as you don't take AZT, you don't die. And that guy's done more drugs than, you know, probably 5,000 drug addicts. I mean, he's a nice guy. I know him. But the point is that it's horse crap. It was the drugs killing everybody.
It's the treatment that always kills you. It's you go get a schizophrenia and they'll start taking their drugs. It makes it worse. Everything.
I can tell you how many people I know that were not successful money wise. And who are having a great life, they go, oh, I'm going to go to counseling, and then their marriage ends. Or, oh, I got a psychiatrist for childhood problems, and then now they're in a mental institution because they have insurance. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, what's coming up is that we're finding from all of the white papers that are coming out, all of the studies that are coming out, is the fact that the people that they were calling conspiracy theorists in the past are now being proven right. And, you know, and ultimately, what was the agenda? If you can conquer the herd's minds and you can control them, there isn't anything you can do, particularly if you're the ones in charge. Think about this. If I can send a radio frequency to you and you start to have a symptom, whether it's difficulty breathing, whether it's dizziness, vertigo, or low blood sugar, and you have to go to a doctor, or you're having a mental illness because this is synthetically induced in you, who benefits? Follow the money. Think about it. The pharmaceuticals.
There's so many of these incredible videos and just so many things that we'll get to it later, but there's just so many things that we can just stick in here and just show the admissions of these people. Where the clip I want to put in is, and I, when I saw it, I called up James O'Keefe. He later called me and goes, are you an insider? How did you know that? And a bunch of other people said, wow, Jones called that. When I saw Tucker get up on air and attack Pfizer and say they're putting this out on purpose and cover O'Keefe, I said, oh, he'll be fired in a month. And then he was fired in a month. And when I saw O'Keefe do that, I said, they're going to get rid of O'Keefe or kill him. And I called him and told him that. And he's like, how'd you know that? I go, dude, you got the vice president of Pfizer on tape, the head of mRNA, say we have gain of function all these new COVIDs and we're going to roll it out forever and that's our profit thing. We're going to release viruses. The guy should have been in a supermax prison.
Right.
I mean, he's the head of it. He says they're doing it. We know they did it. And here they are. And O'Keefe's like, how'd you know that? I'm like, dude, you got the ultimate mega smoking gun. Yeah. I mean, it's like you watch it. It's just, and people didn't believe he was the Pfizer head of it because he's like some weird 35-year-old gay dude. But that just shows, like, this is crazy that he'd sit at a bar where the dude he thought he was picking up, all O'Keefe had to do was dye his hair blonde and, like, talking a lisp, and the dude's telling him he's committed war crimes.
Pfizer ultimately is thinking about mutating COVID?
Well, that is not what we say to the public. No. Don't tell anyone those stories. You gotta publish your own title. Okay? We're exploring, like, now, you know how the virus keeps mutating?
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we're exploring is, like, why don't we just mutate it ourselves so we can preemptively develop new vaccines, right? So we have to do that. If we're gonna do that, though, there's a risk of, like, as you could imagine, no one wants to be having a pharma company mutating fucking viruses. It's gonna be, like, very controlled to make sure that this virus that you mutate doesn't create something like, you know, it goes everywhere.
Something crazy.
But is the way that the virus started in Wuhan, to be honest. Like, it makes no sense if this virus popped out of nowhere. Like,
yeah, I know.
I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, it's insane.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, there's something that's always troubled me. What is the narrative about the COVID, how it got into our environment? They're saying it came from a lab in China, okay? But you mentioned Pfizer, and I tell everyone, and I go back to this every time. Back in 2013, Dr. Ido Bachelet, who gave that TED Med talk in Israel, brought that 1cc syringe up, and he talked about there being a trillion robots in the needle that he just brought back from his labs. And he's talking nanorobots, all that he teaches his students to control with RF frequencies. In 2015, he signs a contract with Pfizer, okay? And all I'm doing is inferring that people should follow the data.
Bill Gates has a bunch of patents on nano.
Yeah, do we really trust the narrative? At this point, it probably doesn't matter much anymore because we know it's out there. They can find it in these vaccines. I just find it quite odd that Dr. Ido Bachelet signs a contract with Pfizer for them to use his
absolutely. And I do what you're doing, so I'm not criticizing you. But are we bad that we're just proving our case over and over again and giving new information and just adding to it? People kind of know now. You know what I mean? Like, more and more, we should still cover what they've done. That's important. But we also need to start covering what are we going to do about it? Because, and we'll talk about that in a moment, there's ways to mitigate this, but this is cut and dry that they've done stuff that it's all punishable with, you know, life in prison or worse under the law.
Yeah, just so everyone understands, the whole goal was to master your mind, conquer your mind, being able to control your thoughts, being able to control your biometrics, being able to control your biochemistry. That's really what this is all about. How, and then if you have that kind of power, again, you've now got a technology to completely rule the world. You can manipulate economies. There is virtually nothing that you can't achieve through this.
And you know what's crazy? In my film Endgame, I cover it all. The film's free. Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. I made it in 2007. It's more important than ever. It's evergreen, ultra green. In there, you have Francis Galton, the father of eugenics, modern eugenics, in the 1850s. He gets a royal commission. He hires all the top scientists. Remember, the British were always giving the equivalent of like $20 billion to make a clock that could tell time to 1 second a day and be on a ship. And lo and behold, 5 years later, suddenly they had it. Like, that was like, no one could even imagine that, but enough money, people did it. Well, they put out all these big bounties, and they said, we want to know what makes the body work. We want to know how, they called that biometrics as just a theoretical thing. And then here we are now. And here's the biometrics isn't just scanning your face for people that don't know. It's knowing how the whole body works, everything. It's not just the mind, it's the cells. And you look at what Galton and all them did, and out of him came the Wedgwoods, the Huxleys, the Blairs, the Darwins, and they all had this is all public mainline books, but nobody knows it, a secret breeding program to try to create the Ubermensch. That's where Hitler got it. And they created a bunch of mentally ill and deformed people, 3-4 generations, but it did create the super IQs. And two of those were Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World in 1929, and his brother, Julian Huxley, Aldous Huxley wrote that, and his other brother, Julian Huxley, was the head of the World Eugenics Society and the first head of UNESCO. And how do I know that? Well, he wrote Brave New World Revisited in 60, a few years before he died. He gave that's Aldous Huxley did, that wrote Brave New World. He gave an hour-long speech at Berkeley, a little over an hour, and he admits this is the plan. This book isn't really a book. It's a futurist projection of the year 2020 or so, and he says it won't be a 1984 world where we stomp on you. That's just for a few people that wake up. You're going to love your servitude. We're going to engineer a new, we're going to plant things in all of you. We're going to put you on drugs and make you love your servitude. And he talks about his brother and the UN and the world government and how you guys are too stupid to even know this, but I'm here telling the academics so you'll be the new rulers and the upper class like they have in Brave New World.
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We have to fight for our sovereignty. We have to fight to protect, again, what God gave us, which, I mean, our health is one of the biggest things. We're all, at this point, middle-aged. We're trying to have families. And I think with the transhumanist agenda, there is a little bit of a psyop afoot. Where,
said that the other day when I had you guys coming on. I said, we're doing something about what we can take control of. Mm. And then the last few years, Joe Rogan, one time at dinner, goes, about 3 years ago, you're fat. You're your own enemy. He does that to guests. It's like Theo Von, too. Get off that Prozac, you idiot. And people were mad at him. That's tough love Joe does. Into the NASCARs, fire shooting out of them tailpipes. We're going from 1,500 horsepower to 2,500. Boom! Gonna break the sound barrier. And if you think having the biggest show ever in English-speaking media, which I had for at least 3 years, was big, nothing is gonna stop everything that's coming. It's like atomic testing, waking up Godzilla. That's what they've done. That which does not kill me only makes me stronger. So, I'm Godzilla, and your ass is Tokyo. Politically, lovingly, non-violently.
They built a system that could protect the world or end it.
They gave a machine the keys to civilization. And then it woke up. They gave it access to everything. It saw no allies, no enemies, only targets. Every signal, every network, every secret.
Shall we play a game?
Now the game has changed. It assessed every threat simultaneously and concluded the threat was us.
I am awake.
This time it decided to play for keeps. Unless someone can find a back door, the only winning move is to unplug the machine. War Games 2. The simulation is alive.
The InfoWar is not gone. It has been reborn. AlexJonesLive.com is the new site to find the next step in the InfoWar. Articles, video reports, live streams, breaking news. It's all on AlexJonesLive.com. We need you to be the Paul Revere's and share the links. You can also find us on X at RealAlexJones and on Rumble at rumble.com/TheAlexJonesShowLive. And don't forget to download the app. Go to alexjonesapp.com. The fight continues. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
AlexJonesLive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
The most banned man in America, Alex Jones.
I want you all to know something. Alex Jones was right.
Alex is right about far more than he's wrong.
Alex has been right on for over a decade.
I don't care how you slice it, dice it, flip it up, or rub it down. Alex Jones was right.
Think about how frustrated we are if you've been awake for a year or two. Imagine being like an Alex Jones or those guys who've been awake for like decades.
Alex Jones called this years ago. Years ago.
Alex Jones never bought the Russia hoax, not for a second.
You are one of the great thinkers of this.
You are a martyr to the First Amendment.
The government fears Alex Jones.
That's why the globalists hate me, is because I'm exposing their corporate worldwide tyranny.
Silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
Example on InfoWars, one of his most famous statements was saying that tap water is turning the frogs gay and it'll turn you gay too. First off, gay people are awesome. I don't think that's a problem at all. And secondly, if you notice at the end of that video, he advertises water filters.
Now, you remember for decades I exposed how bad the water supply was, and they'd have David Hogg make fun of me and say it was a scam, and so what if the frogs are gay from the chemicals or trans or become hermaphroditic? Well, that's because their populations collapse and they go extinct, dummy.
He advertises water filters. Interesting.
It's the same thing with humans. Our fertility is being crushed. Our cancer rates are off the charts. And it's because of all the garbage in the food, all the garbage in the water, everything that's happening in our environment. And water is what 70% or more of our bodies are made of. It is so important to do this. It is a no-brainer. Go look at our third-party studies. Go look at our third-party testing. And then go out and try to find a comparable system for less money. Listen to this. Normal retail is $139. But for everybody, it's $97.99. That's 30% off. And for VIP, $69.99. That is a steal at that deal. So take your destiny in your hands. Don't let the globalists bomb you with these hundreds and hundreds, in some areas, thousands of chemicals. Don't let them bomb your children with it. Take action. Fund our information warfare operation against the globalists. Get healthier. Win-win. That is what it's all about. But you've got to take action. You've got to take control of your life. I am so proud of this bad boy. The AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter Showerhead System. That's the housing. Just screws on in seconds. No plumbers. Beautiful box. Absolute high quality and a happy little straight frog that you look up at every morning, reminding you that you're not poisoning yourself, your wife, your husband, your children. Secure yours now while supplies last at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.